My next guest, a congressman from Texas, also running for president as a Republican. He's definitely not leading in the polls, but he is the most popular GOP candidate on the web. We'll find out what he's all about. Please welcome Congressman Ron Paul.
The OBGYN/politician made it. He landed right in the middle of the mainstream, onto Jay Leno's couch. Dr. Ron Paul is not considered your typical Republican candidate for president. The representative from Texas's 14th district was reelected to Congress about a year ago. Yet 4 months later, on March 12, 2007, he announced his candidacy for president of the United States. Since then, Dr. Paul's fundraising efforts have been extraordinary. Just over this past weekend, in an orchestrated money bomb fundraising event, Paul's supporters raised $6 million via the internet in one day, according to his site. So while taking in all those contributions for his campaign, what contributions has he made to that district, the area south and southwest of Greater Houston, including Galveston? In our continuing series about the hometown view of national presidential candidates, we welcome Bennett Roth. He's the Houston Chronicle's Washington correspondent. Hi, Ben.
Good to be with you.
So how would you describe the district that Congressman Paul oversees? Who lives there?
Oh, there's shrimpers, there's cotton farmers, there's rice farmers. It's a group of clusters of small towns hugging the Gulf Coast. It includes Galveston, and it goes east and west of Galveston.
So looking at his voting record, I'll just give three things. He voted not to reauthorize Head Start. He voted yes to impeach President Clinton. He opposed the mandatory use of trigger locks on guns. Is he well representing the people who live in that district?
Probably not. I mean, it's a fairly conservative district, very pro-military, as much of Texas is. And particularly his votes on the Iraq War are probably not terribly popular there.
So what has been his biggest contribution as a person representing the 14th District of Texas?
Well, I mean, I think he's seen as kind of a kindly, low-key doctor in the district. I mean, his campaign hands out recipes, and he does his constituent work down there. I mean, his reputation there is a little different than nationally. I mean, it's a little more low profile. He doesn't come across as this, you know, angry, fiery orator, but rather he just, you know, he goes home and he goes from town hall to town hall, dispensing advice, and he's also seen as kind of very straightforward. There's no political spin with him, and people like that.
Do people in the district think that he can win? Do they think that just his running is good enough for the district and is going to help them anyway?
Well, I mean, I think that, I mean, Texans sort of like larger-than-life personalities, and I think in that sense, I think they're probably kind of in awe that he is running. That he is running, and like that. I don't think that there's much feeling there that he's going to win. I mean, he's got his own congressional race in which he's having some trouble. He's got two Republican opponents in his congressional race there.
So why is he having trouble winning the district he's already the congressman from?
Well, I think a lot of it's the war positions, and now that he's, you know, presidential candidate, that's become much more known to a lot of people. As I say, he's been fairly low profile, and I don't think people were paying attention to him, but now they can't help it. So two Republicans have announced that they are going to run against him in the March 4th primary, which is also the presidential primary in Texas as well. So he'll be running for president and for Congress on the same day.
That's interesting. So how does Ron Paul's philosophy of very little government interference jibe with the needs for funds and projects when his district needs help?
Well, in some ways it doesn't, but there's a little bit of an inconsistency here. Ron Paul does, for example, he proposed more earmarks for his district than any other member of the local Houston area delegation. He proposed 65 earmarks, including renovation of a shuttered movie theater and wild shrimp marketing. And so he does do a lot of the constituent services, even as he talks about low government. His district also gets a large amount of federal aid because it's fairly poor and elderly, and so he doesn't fight the fact that, you know, they get large Social Security and Medicare payments and flood insurance. They get a lot. It's along the Gulf Coast. So
you mentioned the flood insurance, and I want to talk a little bit about the responses to the tough hurricane seasons. You know, Texas, that area, absorbed many Hurricane Katrina refugees and evacuees, I should say. Dr. Paul wrote about the federal government's response, quote, "It is easy to call for drastic government action in the emotional aftermath of Katrina, but we must not ignore history, logic, or basic economics." Did that opinion play out?
Well, he did oppose it, and they probably appealed to a certain conservative element in the district that didn't like all the people coming into the area. I mean, mixed response to the large number of people coming from New Orleans, and I think his response probably played to the more conservative element of his district.
You wrote a piece on some of his writing from 10, 20 years ago that touch on some really controversial issues: AIDS, sexual harassment, slavery. What's going on with Ron Paul and slavery?
Well, I mean, in terms of the Civil War, I didn't believe it should be fought, you know, and then basically felt that you could have bought the slaves and bought all the slaves in the South and freed them. that is his view, and he claims that other countries, including Britain, didn't have to fight civil wars to get rid of slavery. But, you know, these views, have some of them have been aired in this district, and they don't seem to gain much traction. In 1996, in his congressional campaign, a number of his views, including some very controversial views about African Americans, were widely distributed by his opponent, and nothing happened.
Like what? What were his views that you're referring to?
Well, now, you have to be careful. These were reviews that he later said he didn't write, but were ghostwritten by him under what's called the Ron Paul Report, a newsletter he wrote that was written by a foundation, he said, in the early 90s. In the aftermath of the Los Angeles riots, in which the report said essentially that anyone who's been robbed by a young black man knows how fleet-footed they are. He also criticized Barbara Jordan, a former congresswoman from Houston, an African American, basically said she was a fraud. Now, during the campaign, he said he was taken out of context in 1996, But now he's saying that he didn't approve those comments. They were written by other people. Nevertheless, they were circulated, and people in the district were aware of them, and they still elected him.
We're talking to Bennett Roth. He is the Houston Chronicle's Washington correspondent, giving us the hometown view of candidate Ron Paul. I'm sort of curious about, you know, you wrote these stories about some of these things he said, which are controversial. We've had segments about Ron Paul, and our website has been flooded by his national supporters.
To join the crowd. So
yeah, how'd it go for you?
I bombarded, starting when it was posted on our website. Story was posted on our website at midnight. By 1 o'clock, I was getting the first, and they weren't pleasant.
Are his local supporters as ardent as these national presidential supporters?
I don't think so. I mean, when I check some of these emails, it's hard to tell where they're all coming from. But much of his support is coming from out of state. I mean, he's got a large support in California, for example, and Florida and other parts of the country. I just don't sense. I mean, there was a straw poll, a Republican straw poll, in Texas in August, and Ron Paul did not come in first in his home state.
Hmm.
So I don't think that the enthusiasm for him is quite as high in the state.
So why is he so strong on the Internet?
Well, I mean, he appeals to a certain group of people that obviously use the Internet. I'm guessing a little bit younger, a little bit more male, and certainly very disaffected, who don't get their news from maybe the mainstream papers.
Bennett Roth is with the Houston Chronicle. He is a Washington correspondent. Hey, Ben, thanks for sharing your reporting with us.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're going to tell you the story of a crazy jailbreak, and we're going to talk about the most popular names in America. Stewart is not on the list.
Nope.
Torre's not on the list.
Nope.
But Garcia and Rodriguez are. And we're going to talk about the best song in the world right this very second.
And American Gladiators? Oh, yeah, we're going there. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.